right. So this, what I'm going to talk about today is something that's been, God's been doing in my life right now. He's still doing it today. And so it's not a topic or it's not something that I feel I've completely dominated or that I've completely understood. It's something that God is working in me today, right now. And so that's why I'd like for us to take a look at Acts chapter 16. If you would turn there with me, please. So I'm just going to read, I'm going to read the first 10 verses of 16, and then I'm going to briefly summarize the rest of that passage for us. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll read part of it straight out of Acts 16, and then I'll do my best to summarize what happens after that. So it says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And it goes on, it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, let me tell you what happens next. On the Sabbath day, they found a place where they met for prayer on a riverbank, and Paul and his team taught some women who had gathered there, using the scriptures about Jesus. There was a businesswoman present named Lydia. She was already seeking to know God. As Lydia listened to the message about Jesus, the Lord opened her heart and she was baptized, along with her entire household. It doesn't stop there. One day, as Paul and his team were going to the meeting place on the riverbank, a demon-possessed slave girl who earned a lot of money for her masters as a fortune teller began following them, shouting, these are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. This went on day after day after day. But finally, Paul had had enough. He turned toward the girl and he spoke to the demon in her, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And guess what? Instantly, the demon came out. Her master's hopes of using her to become rich were shattered. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the judges in the marketplace. They began to accuse them, saying, these men are stirring up lots of trouble in our city. They are teaching our people to do things that are against our customs and against our practices. A mob quickly formed. The judges ordered Paul and Silas be stripped and beaten. After a severe beating, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was threatened with death if they escaped. He put them in an inner cell and clamped their feet in leg irons. That evening, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing songs to the Lord. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. The doors opened, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. When the jailer saw the prison doors open, he assumed that the prisoners had escaped. He immediately drew his sword to kill himself. Paul yelled to him, don't do it, don't do it, we're still in here. Trembling, the jailer called for lights and ran into the prison. He fell down before Paul and Silas and begged, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas replied to him, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with your whole family. They told the story of Jesus to him, and all his family that night became believers. It's an amazing, amazing story here that we see in Acts 16. And so what I want to talk about today, so the title of my message is Living a Life of Holy Spirit Dependence. And I'm just struck by the way that the early church lived a life of Holy Spirit dependence. And this is a great example here of A, seeking the Holy Spirit's guidance, B, hearing and listening to his voice. Okay, so hearing and listening to his voice, a couple of different verbs there. And then not only that, but taking action upon what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do. And more simply, we could say that it's ask, listen, and obey what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. So to live a life that is Holy Spirit dependent, I believe, and remember, I'm speaking to myself as well, we need to do more ask, listen, and obey. If we want to see the things that we see in the book of Acts, if we want our churches to be resemblant of the Acts churches, we need to continue to ask, to listen, and to obey what God is calling us and telling us to do. Now, how did it come about in this particular story in Acts 16? How did it come about? Well, the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul how? In a dream. So he was dreaming, and he gets a vision of this man that's saying to Paul, come to Macedonia. And that was the Holy Spirit communicating to him. And so Paul gets up and he responds with action, and they go. Now, where else have we seen this asking of God to speak and to bring direction and to bring clarity to a certain situation? The early disciples saw Jesus do that all the time. After, you know, we know that there are many examples of Jesus going off on his own and finding a secluded place so he could cry out to God the Father and reconnect with his Father, and God would meet him in that place. And then he would go on to the next town or to the next situation. So it's not just something that we see in the book of Acts, but we see Jesus himself doing it all the time. Now, just a couple of things about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I just want you to know that the presence of the Holy Spirit sets us apart as Christians. It sets us apart from any other group that's out there. So what is it that makes us different to the Kiwanis Club? Or what is it that makes us different to a social club? Or what is it that makes us different to the country club down the road? It's the presence of the Holy Spirit in us and amongst us. And so I just want to read a couple of quick passages about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. And the first one is John 14, verse 26. And you're welcome to go there with me, but I've got it here, and I'd like to read it to us real quick. So John 14, verse 26 says this, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." So this is a characteristic of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He teaches us and he reminds us of the things of God, the things that we've been taught or the things that we've known. Sometimes we need reminders. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to come and say, hey, remember this. Remember that this is what I've said. Remember that this is what I've called you to do. So that is a sign of the Holy Spirit presence in our lives. And like I said, there's many others, but I just chose another one out of 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. Actually, I'm going to read from verse 6. Okay, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And here's the key. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And we'll stop there. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Here's another bit of evidence of the activity and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit reveals to us and searches. Reveals and searches. And so those are just so we know that as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, as we're talking about the dependence in our lives of the Holy Spirit, these are some of the evidences that we're going to see in our lives. Okay, so my question to you is, do we see enough of the book of Acts in our churches today? So if I were to ask you, Grace Church, Spokane, do we see enough of the book of Acts? Don't have to answer that, but the point is we should be desiring more of what we see in the book of Acts in our churches today. Here's another question. Does the Holy Spirit play a prominent role in your life and in the church? Why is it that as Christians, there are times when we seem to pay so little attention to the Holy Spirit? And in all actuality, it's paying very little attention to God. And this reminds me of another story in the book of Acts of Ananias and Sapphira. It's not a very warm and fuzzy story, but Peter looks at them when they bring their offering, and he says, why have you deceived, or why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? And then in his next phrase, he's like, why have you lied to and deceived God? And so if we are paying very little attention to the Holy Spirit, then we're paying little attention to God himself. And sadly, there are far too many Christians that aren't experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And that's what I'm here this morning to encourage you into, expecting and asking for more of the power of the Holy Spirit in your personal lives, in your families, in your workplaces, and in the church. Okay? So that's my main encouragement to you today. And it comes, how does that come? Well, it comes by asking, listening, and obeying what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. And I think these are very important, that these three components exist. If we are to live a life that is dependent on the Holy Spirit, there has to be an ask, there has to be a listen, and there has to be an action. It's kind of like if I said to you, well, hey, come on over to our house and would you like some lemonade? I'll make some lemonade for us real quick. I know this is a very simple example, but I'm a man of very simple examples. I taught high school for over 15 years in different locations, and I just always would come up with simple examples to try to make a point. But if I invite you to my house and I said, let me make some lemonade for you, and I pour a glass of water and say, okay, here you go, here's your lemonade, you're going to say, hey, wait a second, we're missing at least a couple of ingredients here, right? And so then I'll say, oh, my bad, I forgot about the lemon. And so I cut open a lemon and I squeeze the lemon into the water and I say, okay, here you go. You might take a drink and say, whoa, we're still missing an ingredient. And I say, oh, okay, this lemonade needs sugar. I stir it up and I give it to you. And you're like, okay, that's lemonade. And so living a life of Holy Spirit dependence has to include, there has to be an asking of God. There has to be a listening for what God is saying through his Holy Spirit. And there has to be action. And anything less than that is not living a full Holy Spirit dependent life. Yesterday I was talking to Donald, and he said that he had to go home and help his son make mac and cheese, right? And so I'm sure there was a process of saying, okay, hey, mac and cheese is hard. We got to get it right. It's a difficult thing to... But mac and cheese has just a few ingredients, right? You got pasta, you've got some cheesy powder stuff, whatever that is, and you've got milk, and maybe a little bit of butter, maybe not, depending on how you like it. But here's the thing. If Donald's like, hey, just boil the pasta, put it on a plate, and you're good to go. There's your mac and cheese. You're going to be like, no, that's missing ingredients. And you're like, okay, well, let's do some powder. So just pour the powder on the pasta. It's still not enough. You still need that extra ingredient. You pour a little milk in it, and you stir it up, and you've got mac and cheese. And so I know these examples are simple, but hopefully it helps us see that to live a Holy Spirit-dependent life, we need to be asking God. God, come on, I need you to speak to me. I need you to act. I need you to do something here in my life and speak to my heart. Not only that, God will speak to us. God will respond to us. He does every time. We need to be able to listen. We need to be able to hear what he's saying. Not only hear, but listen to what he's asking us to do. But we don't stop there. We actually take action upon what he's asking us to do. And we see that over and over in the book of Acts. So at times, you know, speaking of the church, at times we can try to be so culturally relevant, you know, as we think about our churches, as we think about reaching the lost in our cities and in our neighborhoods, there are times when we try to be so culturally relevant that it's possible to miss out on the Holy Spirit activity. So that's, you know, just as an encouragement to you, as you're reaching out into the city, as you're reaching out to your neighbors and coworkers, yes, be culturally relevant, but also expect Holy Spirit activity and ask for it and depend on the Holy Spirit to do his work. We have to be careful of not becoming too man-centered and where it all becomes about us and it's all about what we can do. It's all about the skills and talents that God has given to us. We must be careful because that could possibly lead to legalism. It could lead to not producing any fruit, and it could produce sin in our lives as well. So we must be careful. I know it sounds harsh. I know it's pretty straightforward, but there is good news. Because this, you might be thinking, oh, I'm hearing all this, and I'm not sure what to think about all this. It's hard to do what you're talking about, Wes. I understand. Remember, I'm talking to myself as well. But there is good news, because the Holy Spirit activity that we see in the book of Acts has never stopped. The Holy Spirit is still active today, and he is the presence of God amongst us today. This morning, as we were crying out to God in worship and we were declaring his greatness and his goodness, the Holy Spirit is amongst us right now. And it's the presence of God that is with us. So the apostles in the book of Acts used to say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and it seemed good to us. And so that to me, it shows the great communion between that early church and the Holy Spirit. Whatever seemed good to the Holy Spirit, it was good for us. And boom, there they would go. And the grace of God upon the early church is still available to us today. And so the grace of God, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, as we read in that story, stopped them from going into certain situations. And it closed the doors in certain situations. And how did they know that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to them? Well, they were asking and listening for that voice. And when they heard it, they said, whoa, okay, we need to take action here. Let's wait and wait on God and have him speak to us about what to do next. Paul goes to sleep. He gets a vision in the middle of the night. He's like, okay, Holy Spirit has spoken. Thank you, God. Wake up next morning. Here we go. right? And that's, to me, that's just so amazing. And I would love to see that happening more in our churches on a regular basis. There's grace. So if you're feeling right now that, man, that sounds great, but I've tried it and I don't know how to live a life that's in a Holy Spirit dependent rhythm each and every day. How do I do it? Well, there's grace, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us get to that point. And we should all be thirsty. We should all desire to get there. And just to say, real quick, all of this has to come out of relationship with God as well. And so I don't want you to hear me saying all you have to do in your prayer life is ask, listen, and obey. That's a very important component, absolutely. But as we see in the Lord's Prayer, there's a recognizing first of who God is. And there's a worshiping of God for his greatness and for his goodness and calling him Father, crying out to God as Father. And that speaks so much of relationship with God. And so there's got to be a relationship with God first and foremost. And so if I could encourage you as well this morning to seek a deeper relationship with God, and as you do, begin to ask him to do these things. Begin to ask him to speak. Begin to ask him to help you listen. And not only listen for the things you want to hear. We're very good at listening for things we want to hear, aren't we? But God is wanting for us to listen to the things that he wants for us. And we need help. We need a lot of help. I know I need a lot of help. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with just hearing his voice. We've got to put it into action. So be encouraged this morning that God's desire for you is that he would speak to you, that he would help you listen, give you ears to hear what he wants to say, and give you the power and the strength to act upon it. You just have to be willing. You've got to be willing to say, God, do it in my life. I don't really bring anything. I don't bring anything to the table. God, you do it all. You're the one that's doing this work in my life. Take my life and do whatever you wish with it. And my life is yours. Does that make sense? So just going back to our story in Acts 16 real quick, we see some amazing fruit. And not only did they go around all these places, it seemed like they were always asking. They were always willing and open to hearing from God. And when they heard from God, they acted upon it. And there was an amazing result, wasn't there? Even in the story that we read today, there were, you know, three testimonies of God's amazing work in three separate lives. And it didn't only impact those three lives, but it impacted whole communities. And churches were planted and churches were encouraged by what was happening. And it all goes back to listening to God's voice. It all goes back to acting upon what God was telling them to do. Who knows what would have happened if Paul would have woken up and said, man, that was a crazy dream last night. Hey, boys, let's go keep going down the same road that we were going. Who knows what would have happened to Lydia or the demon-possessed girl or the churches that were there or the jailer. Who knows what would have happened to those lives. But because of God's grace and God's love for people, he spoke to Paul. Paul acted upon it, and lives were transformed forever. And so as I've been praying, as I've been, you know, thinking about this message, as I've been, you know, thinking about Grace Church Spokane, I would love, and I just want to encourage you that as you continue to grow in your Holy Spirit dependence, God is going to do amazing things. And he's going to transform lives through you guys. He's going to transform this city, whether it's, you know, the North Hill, whether it's the South Hill, whether it's the Valley, whether it's downtown. God wants to save people in this city and its surrounding areas. And God wants to use you guys to do it. And so today's encouragement is to really grow in Holy Spirit dependence. Keep asking God, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want from me? And God will speak to you through his Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will speak to you in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of moments, through a dream or through an impression on your heart. Or maybe God will send someone to say something to you prophetically or just as an encouragement. There's many ways that God speaks to us. Maybe you open up your Bible and you read a passage and God speaks to you clearly through the passage in a way he's never done before. It can't stop there. There's got to be action after that. There's got to be an action. And I just want to encourage you that as you step out into action, as you continue to depend on God, God's going to do some amazing things in you and through you. And I believe that God's going to transform this place through Grace Church Spokane. And someday you're going to rejoice because you've got people worshiping Jesus all over the city of Spokane and its surrounding areas. I don't even know what's out beyond Spokane, but I'll just call it surrounding areas. But I do know there's a North Hill, there's a South Hill, there's a Valley, and there's a downtown. And God wants to do an amazing work in those areas. Amen? Evidence of the Holy Spirit. A very well-known passage in Galatians 5 is where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So as you continue to live a life of Holy Spirit dependence, you're going to see fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be surprised even. God has ways of surprising us in what he does in us and through us. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you would like more of that? Amen. So as you do, as you continue to ask, as you continue to listen, as you continue to step out in action, this is some of the fruit you're going to be seeing in your own life and in the lives of others. And that's encouraging because God is not, he's not done with us. He's not finished working in our lives. And he wants to pour out his gifts. He wants to pour out more of his love upon our life. He wants to continuously fill us with his Holy Spirit. And so you might be sitting there this morning thinking, well, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit already. I've had an amazing experience, but that was 15 years ago and it was good. And now things aren't quite the same. So I'm not sure what's going to happen, but God wants to continuously fill you with the Holy Spirit. And he wants to continuously speak to you. And he wants to continuously move you forward. He doesn't want you to sit very long where you're at. He doesn't want you to pull over and hang out in the ditch. He wants you to keep moving forward. And because of that love and that grace, he's willing to pour out. He's willing to give gifts. He's willing to produce fruit in your life. If you're willing to ask, listen, and act. So here's another question for you. What is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? What are you asking the Holy Spirit to do in you? What is he speaking to you? What he wants to say or what you want to hear? And are you taking action upon what he is speaking? Ask, listen, and obey. Just like we see in Acts 16, we will see amazing things happening in our lives. Now, if someone here this morning doesn't know Jesus or doesn't know much about the Holy Spirit, today is the day to do so. Today is an opportunity to know Jesus and to meet Jesus and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was looking back at your book table back there, and Terry Virgo's book, Holy Spirit, The Holy Spirit and His Gifts, is an amazing book. I encourage all of you to grab a copy of that. If you've got questions or you're not quite sure about the work of the Holy Spirit and his gifts, pick up that book. Take it home. It's not very long. It's easy to read, and you'll be really encouraged by Terry Virgo's book. So living a life of Holy Spirit dependence. Now, you might be asking yourselves, well, does that mean that I ask the Holy Spirit about everything? Should I be asking the Holy Spirit each and every day about stuff? Well, why not? Why not? I mean, if we're going to err, if we're going to make a mistake, let's make a mistake on the side of asking the Holy Spirit too much or too many questions rather than not enough. And I was just impacted this morning as I was going through my notes again. I was impacted in my conversation with Gabe, your son Gabe, on how he's in a routine of waking up early every morning and going on a run. He'll do 3 or 4 miles before he even eats breakfast. And it's just part of his life routine. It's a rhythm of life that he's gotten himself into. And as that really speaks to what I'm trying to say this morning. Let's really ask God to help us get into a rhythm of Holy Spirit dependence. Not just here and there, not just in moments that are very difficult, not just at times where, man, I don't know what else to do, then I'm going to cry out to God. Well, those are times are important to cry out to God, but let's have a rhythm of Holy Spirit dependence. Just like Gabe wakes up every morning, he knows he's going to go on a run. He doesn't have to really, like, think about it. He doesn't have to, like, wrestle with himself. He's like, that's just what I'm going to do. That's part of my life rhythm. I don't understand why anyone would want to do that. But that's his rhythm. And so can we ask God to help us create a rhythm in our life of Holy Spirit dependence? And so what does that look like? That looks like we stop, first of all, we need to stop striving. We need to stop trying to work harder to make these things happen. And just give it up to God and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to do this in my life. I think as Christians, at times, we strive. We try to strive and we try to do things in our own strength. But a life that's dependent on the Holy Spirit leaves it up to God and asks and listens and takes action upon what the Holy Spirit is saying. We're going to see God do great things. And I encourage you, start tomorrow. Let this message today, let this topic, let this encouragement change the way you start your day tomorrow. Change the way that you look at life on a Monday. You know, sometimes it's on a Sunday, it's easy to say, that's great, man. That's an awesome message. Praise God. But then Monday morning hits and you're like, what was that message about? I don't even know. You know, and I mean, I say that for myself. I do it as well. But let this change the way you view your Monday morning. And say, you know what, God, I want to live with the rhythm of Holy Spirit dependence. And I need you big time for that. And your grace is there for me. Your love is there for me. And so I'm going to cry out to you. And I want to ask the right things. I want to hear what you want me to hear. And please, God, help me take action once you do speak. It can be scary at times. God asks us to do big things for him sometimes. And it's not easy. It's not comfortable and fuzzy, warm and fuzzy. God asks us to do big things. He'll give us boldness. He'll give you boldness through his Holy Spirit to take that step forward. Amen? Okay. There's a lot more I could say, but I want to stop there. Andy actually has a word of encouragement for us that he felt during worship time. Come on up.
So this morning I got a picture, and the picture was this. I was just praying to God, and I was like, "What can I bring to encourage you all?" And I got a picture of it was kind of like a recycling plant, I think. And on the side of the building, there's a big sign that said "No Waste" on it. And I just thought that this means that everything you do is not wasted. Every prayer, every witness, all the worship that you bring is never wasted in the kingdom. And there are people here, and people are going to be coming to you that will tell you that they've wasted their lives. Totally. But God's in the business of making people new, isn't he? And so he's actually, you know, nobody and nothing is going to be wasted in here. And there's a scripture that I've been mulling over this weekend. It's from Hebrews. It says, "We feel sure in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name and serving the saints as you still do." Jesus, Lord, we want to praise you for this church, Lord God, and how you're in the business of making people new, Lord God, and that you do not waste any of your people's good work, Jesus, Lord. So we want to praise you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. Would you increase, Lord? Would you increase your spirit moving amongst us, Lord God? Would you use us, Lord God? Would you speak to us, Lord? We are ready to be used by you, Father. Would you open our hearts, Jesus, and our ears, Lord, that we may go out and we can see the lost saved and see people made new, Jesus.